Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Stevie Nicker. We also welcome to the show Frank LaBeouf and Luis Garcia. Luis looking good. Frank needs a holiday. Let's start, shall we, by looking at these proposed changes to the laws that FIFA are exploring at the moment. An under-19 tournament is going on in the Netherlands, and these are the changes. Two 30-minute halves, the game clock stops when the ball goes out of play. Unlimited substitutions, throw-ins played with feet, 5-minute suspensions for yellow cards, and free kicks, corners can be dribbled immediately. Frank, I want to start with you. Which one of these do you like the most?
I will go for sure the throw-in because, I saw the tournoi of Toulon for the under-21 national team, and he's been held since 1967. Cristiano Ronaldo, David Ginola, Marquinhos, Leonardo played in it, and they all played with the throw-in, with a kick instead of the throw-in. And it was done and accepted by everybody. And I think he brings something, I would say normal and obvious for me, because football is played with the feet. So I don't know why we keep on playing with the throw-ins. After that, I'm against the substitution. The
enemy. Okay, all right. Well, let's start off with the throw-ins. Let's go with the throw-ins first, shall we? Steve, okay. You were pulling a face when Frank said that it was a good idea. Why?
Well, I don't understand his rationale. Well, you play football with your feet, so why do we have a throw-in anyway? Well, I'll tell you what, you play rugby throwing the ball to each other, so why are you allowed to kick it? Listen, these are rules that have been... How old? 160? 170 years?
Long time, Steve. You were there.
And guess what? They've held up this long. And do you know why? Do you know why they've held up this long? Because they're great. And do you know why there are trillions of people around the world that watch this game? Because of the rules as they are right now. Yes, you can fiddle with them and move things on, the likes of VAR. But when you start tampering with the actual basics of what built the actual game itself, really? You want to do that? That's nonsense.
Frank?
Now, Stevie, just one thing. When they decided to give the ball to the goalkeeper and he wasn't allowed anymore to get with his hands, did you say that was stupid to do so? I think it just brings something good. It's going to make the game faster, and you can find another distance playing with your foot. And again, we are football players. Can you accept that maybe one day one rule was a mistake, and we have to go back to what we know the best, playing with our feet.
I was sceptical when that rule came in.
The pass back rule.
Yes. But there's no question it made the game better, and that's fine. But when you look at these changes, not one of them makes the game better. What makes the game better? Any of them.
But does Frank not have a point in the fact that surely you want to be rewarding the best footballers on a team, and a throw-in eliminates that skill completely?
So, wait a minute. Let's eliminate something that the best players don't benefit from. That's what you've just said in a different way.
Right.
So because it's not good for the best players, let's get rid of it.
I'll tell you what we'll do.
Let's implement all these rules and we'll turn it into a five-a-side team, and then we can have five Messis or five people close to Messi and a goalie, and then forget the rest. Forget defending.
Wait,
you're tampering with the basics of the game. What made the game great?
Why is a throw-in all of a sudden taking away defending, taking away other skills?
No, I'll tell you what. You know who's not going to be happy? My throw-in coach. My old mate, the throw-in coach.
This is where we've gone down. Yeah, you'll make the throw-in.
At least
coach.
I'm going to have one person that'll back me up.
Luis, what do you think? Get rid of throw-ins, just kick the ball in?
Yeah. I think that we're trying to move forward, trying to make the game faster, because the new generation, they've been this tough for quite a while, because the new generation, they want to see more action, more speed. But I think removing the throw-in at certain points is not going to be good either, because you have to stop where you have to start. If the ball is moving, we've seen it with the free kicks, when you try to start with the free kick quick, and the ball has to be totally stop. So if we start doing that with the throw-ins, you're trying to speed up the game. You put the ball, it's not going to be the same. You're going to be the referee whistling, no, you have to go back. You have to start from here. You have to stop the ball. So we are trying to increase the pace, but also we're going to slow down the game and stop in the game once again. So not a big fan of this rule. Moving on to the next one, we'll see. But this one, I'm not a big fan.
Right, Frank, last word on your throw-ins.
Yes. The only problem for me that you can find is where do you put the opponent when you're going to kick the ball? Because he has to go far away in order for you to kick it. That's going to be the main problem. But if Stevie is really uptight on that matter, I'm very excited to talk about the other rules.
Okay. Here's the thing, Frank. Here's what I'm going to do. If I'm a coach, what I'm going to do, every time we get a throw-in, I'm going to pile everybody into the box and I'm going to get the guy who can kick it 70 yards. How do you want that?
Well, what's the difference between that and Rory Delap?
Everybody exactly. can kick the ball 70 yards, not everybody can take a long throw-in.
OK, let's move on for the throw-ins. Luis, which of these suggestions do you like, if any?
Yeah, exactly. That's if any. I'm not a big fan of most of them. I read that it was one that maybe you could stop the game the time when the ball goes out. Mm. But that's meaning that the meaning is that you're gonna play 30 minutes. So I'm not a big fan either. So to be honest, I like to change the game, but I'm a big passionate of what we got. That's why 3.5 billion people watch this game. And that's why it's been so famous in the past years and growing up in these coming years, more people is watching. So I understand that we need to move forward. That's why VAR is being implemented. That's why we are changing some of the rules. But the massive rule like this one's like shorting the game to 30 minutes, there's no way that I can see. Because then we're going to start to the different problematic. Where those 30 minutes are going to be, what that means for the TV rights, because that means that 30 minutes of the game are not going to be watched for the people in their houses. So that's the rights are going to be touched. So it's going to be less money for the clubs, for the game. So when you touch these kind of massive rules, there is a lot to be touched. And to be honest, I'm very happy the way the football looks at the moment.
30 minutes makes sense, doesn't it, Stevie? At least then you know you're getting that allotted time of football. At the moment, it's a lottery.
No, it's not.
Of course it is.
No, it's not.
Time wasting, rolling around.
You're still getting 30 minutes now each half with the time waste and the ball going out of play.
But it differs.
Let me just finish.
Go on.
I don't know the exact, right? I don't know the exact. But they reckon that on average, with the stoppages, the goal kicks, you name it, that we get about between 60 and 70 minutes a game, right? So let's say we get 65 for argument's sake. So we're going to completely change the whole way of thinking for 5 minutes.
But I suppose it's consistency, isn't it? Like if you compare Austria against Italy, Belgium against Italy, the ball was in play 6 minutes more in the Austria game than the Belgian game within that 90 minutes because Italy were just doing everything they could to waste time at the end of that match against Belgium. This then eliminates it, doesn't it? That gives you consistently 30 minutes every game.
See, we're trying to sanitise everything.
Right.
The skullduggery is partly what we love about the game.
Nobody loves
it. Absolute
loves
garbage.
Nobody loves Simeone.
Garbage.
Nobody wants that.
Every single person that supports a team that's 1-0 up with 10 minutes to go absolutely loves it. Falling over, wasting time, going from one side. It's called abusing your brains.
You should be awarded for that, should you?
Yeah, but it's you're trying to sanitise the game. All of a sudden, let's turn that into a five-a-side.
Right.
And then we'll get rid of all the other stuff.
Frank, what do you think about this 30 minutes?
I will go with Stevie in the fact that it's true that if you want to sanitize the game, that will be the great solution because it's true that you're going to avoid cheaters, people pretending to be injured, for example, whatever it is. I go back to the basics of football, and Stevie will be pleased. It's played on the field with two goals, one ball, and for 90 minutes. That's what it is, and it was at the beginning of it. And the 90 minutes are perfectly made. I don't know who created and who is that person who created football, but I want to thank you because when I was playing, after 80 minutes, yeah, I'm sure, you're the best, of course. But after 80 minutes that you start getting very, very much tired. So the tiredness is part of the game. So I don't know if you stop the clock, because for me, if you stop the clock, you have to go for the 30 minutes, because otherwise the game's going to last like 2 or 3 hours, and we go back to the TV rights and problems, you know, that maybe they find in basketball, what Luis was talking about before. But I really think that we shouldn't forget the history of football and the basics of football. In the big picture, I'm not talking about the throw-ins, but I'm talking about the 90 minutes, of course. And that 90 minute, those 90 minutes are very important for our game.
I don't think this is the last time that we will discuss this. So thank you very much. Thank you very much to Frank. Just a reminder, you can check out all our video content over on ESPN FC over on our YouTube page. Be sure to go and subscribe.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Luis, it's the first time you've been on the show, of course, since Lionel Messi looks like he's going to commit his future to Barcelona. Just your reaction in general?
Happiness, of course. I think we were all expecting the Lionel Messi to sign his new contract, to stay in Barcelona for quite a while, more because that's the best play for him to play. I think he knew from the very beginning, but we have to wait until he finished the tournament with the national team. And finally, we are going to see Lionel Messi signing the new contract, and hopefully for a few years, because I read that it could be 2, 3, even 5 years. So hopefully we can see him for many years and enjoy him in La Liga once again in Barcelona.
So Messi staying, it looks like, in Catalonia. Meanwhile, Antoine Griezmann and his future very much up in the air. Suggestions that he could be returning to Atletico Madrid. This is some turnaround, isn't it? Considering everything that was made when he made that initial switch to Barcelona, and it just clearly has not worked from anyone's point of view. But it's quite something, isn't it, to be then returning to Atleti?
Yeah, it looks even weird. It sounds really weird. When I read the news, I thought that it was just rumors, and now it's getting more and more because the situation is like Barcelona needs to increase their budget. They have a very big problem financially, and they need to sell players. They are waiting to see if Umtiti is moving, Pjanic, players who can leave a little bit of cash on the club, and maybe with that keep the big players, because at the end, we are talking about a club who needs to win every single trophy, not only La Liga, but European competitions, and fight for every single one of them. So at the end, we are talking that they need to keep the big players, and a big player is Antoine Griezmann. And last year, we were expecting from the very beginning, he show up in the last maybe third of the competition, showed fantastic performances, but at the end, they need a little bit more of consistency. And that's why I think he's been linked with Atletico Madrid on the deal, and well, we have to wait a little bit. If it's Saúl, maybe the one is in the middle, João Félix, that it was also linked. We need to wait a little bit more, but I don't see Griezmann going back again to Atletico Madrid.
Okay, say that he stays. You take a look at this Barcelona team. There's, of course, some real excellent players within this possible starting 11, but you look at, me and Stevie were talking about this before, defensively, this Barcelona side have got a lot of weaknesses.
Yes, of course. When you try to bring players with a lot of quality up front, new players as Memphis, De Jong, we all know that he can play also a role in defense. because he works in the middle, but with Pedri, that we all know that, yeah, he recovers the ball, but physically he's not the player who can give a little bit of balance in the middle of the pitch, helping Busquets. So, yeah, a lot of players going forward and not many tracking back. That has been, I think, the problems for Barcelona in the last couple of years. But still, Barcelona is a team who defends with the ball. We cannot forget about that. Not bringing players who can defend into the pitch is going to help them. It's going to help them to keep the ball more often and not making mistakes. And that's what Barcelona has been struggling a little bit more in the couple of years that they didn't have the chance of winning La Liga.
Anyone who follows La Liga knows the potential of Pedri. He really, though, made a big announcement, didn't he, on the world stage with his performance in the Euros. Still, of course, so young. You played with Xavi and Iniesta. Are we talking that sort of quality?
Definitely, we have to start comparing him with them because, of course, we remember all what Iniesta and Xavi have made during the years that they stay in Barcelona, but we cannot remember. I played with them when they were 16, with Xavi, for example, 17, and I saw all the development that he had during those years. With Iniesta, when he was 21, 22, the first years of him in the first team, but he's 18. I mean, the amount of confidence he shows when he's on the field, that experience that I don't know where he come from because he's only 18, is something outstanding. And well, Luis Enrique mentioned it during the Euros that he never seen a player like that one, not even Iniesta. So I think we need to wait to see if Pedri continues evolving the way that he's showing, but definitely is going to be a player that we all going to enjoy when he's on the field.
What sort of kid is he, Luis? How's he dealing with all of this pressure? Because it's such responsibility, isn't it, for such young shoulders?
Yeah, it's very difficult. I'm sure that they are looking after him, around him, family, friends, everybody is trying to keep him. I think he's also a special character. He's very quiet, he's very shy. That's something that is going to help him to be away of all that noise around him, giving him the best young player of the competition, being in every single newspaper every single time that he plays. So at the end, he needs a little bit of cover, help outside. And I think Ronald Koeman did very well last year when at a certain point he was removing him from the pitch, not at the last stages when we saw that he arrived a little bit tired. So it's very important that the club look after him. I think they're doing well. And, well, we'll see what happens in the next coming months when he comes back with the Olympics, because also he's a young player, he needs rest. Mm. And if we want to see him improving, he needs that kind of rest to continue his getting better and better every single year.
Of course, it's just under a month now until La Liga kicks off. According to the bookies, well, they can't separate Barcelona or Real Madrid. For Real Madrid, it's quite extraordinary when you look at their squad. Gareth Bale back, of course, after that loan spell at Spurs. And you feel, Luis, if Carlo Ancelotti's side are going to do anything this season, they need to get Gareth Bale back on form because he could prove to be such a key part of this Real Madrid side. And that's easy enough for us to say, but in reality, is it a possibility?
Yeah, exactly. I think all the managers that he had at Real Madrid, they try to get the best of him, but no one, I think, has touched the right button to bring the best of Gareth Bale. I think we saw a little bit when he arrived. We have to remember that he's been in numbers fantastic for Real Madrid. He scored important goals. He played in vital games. He's been a key player, but it's true that he struggled so much with injuries when he started his journey with Real Madrid. And this year is about bringing back the confidence, bringing back, giving a lot of caring, of love. And I think Ancelotti knows exactly what, because of his experience, how to do that. And like you just mentioned, it's very important to bring the best of Gareth Bale to this Real Madrid, because the situation that is at the moment, where they are not signing players, with important players like Sergio Ramos, maybe Varane, are going to be leaving the club in the next weeks. They need the best players in performing well, and Gareth Bale could be a key player for the next year for Real Madrid.
So let's take a look, shall we, at this starting 11 for Real Madrid. And one thing stands out when you look at this, Luis, and this is, there's a lot of old people.
Yeah, experience. I would call them experienced players.
I'll call them old and injury prone.
Yeah, exactly. I will call them experienced players, but it's true that this team is start getting too much experience. because you can see Kroos, Modric, Hazard, Benzema, they are, well, Gareth Bale, they are arriving to the 30s, 30-somethings, and, well, you know that the speed is slows down the game. This Real Madrid is always playing to that fast contest, that fast transition, and at the moment, with the players that you can see up front, maybe you have to adapt to a new style of players. Of course, this is the 11 starter, but last year we could see Vinicius, Rodrigo, players, Vasquez in the right side, Asensio, players who are young, who are experienced, who can give quality to this team, but definitely they need a little bit more if they want to challenge for La Liga.
As Luis mentioned, Rafael Varane on the verge, according to reports, of making that switch from Real Madrid to Manchester United. To keep up to date with all the latest transfer news, check out Transfer Talk over on the website. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Premier League, of course, kicks off next month. According to the bookies, Liverpool third favourites behind Manchester City and Chelsea. Of course, those two teams look to be quite bullish in the transfer market, all quiet when it comes to the moves that Liverpool have made so far. Stevie, can this Liverpool side compete, I suppose, is where we start?
Yes, if they get everybody back fit, then yes.
Right.
I don't think there's any question of that. I think the bookies are spot on. They are third favourites for me, so yeah, they can. But it depends on getting, well, no surprise, getting Van Dijk back.
Right.
That would be one huge part of the puzzle.
Luis, how concerned are you from a Liverpool point of view, taking a look at the market moves that City, Chelsea, Manchester United have made, where things have been pretty quiet for Liverpool?
Yes, of course. But again, I think we've been talking about this, that you're recovering important players that last year were missed for many, many months. And that's something that we have to don't forget. Liverpool struggled for most parts of the last part of the competition. They got back to the rhythm to start winning games. The confidence of the player were a little bit down. You could see also that they were a little bit tired. The front three weren't as sharp as we used to see. But I'm not concerned about signing players. I'm concerned about bringing back the best players. That's the way that this Liverpool can challenge. This team won the Premier League not long ago, and it's almost the same team. So I don't think that we are lack of quality or of talent in the team. The problem is that we can keep them fit during the whole season. It's been a strange situation last year with all the COVID problems and the injuries. So I'm waiting to see what happens if there is some more players arriving, but I'm happy with the players that we got. I think we got fantastic and talented players who can finish games in every single moment, and also a very balanced team. We need a couple of touches, maybe in the middle, maybe one up front, but I'm still waiting to see a move from Liverpool in the coming weeks.
From one side of Merseyside to the other, Luis, quickly, what's it like seeing your old boss in an Everton tracksuit?
Weird. Strange, to be honest. I'm not going to say that I was very, very surprised to see him in the blue shirt, but I was expecting him when I heard the rumors that he could sign. He's very linked to the city. The family lives there, so I could see the move. When I saw him, it was strange to see him, but, well, we all expect the best from him, but I'm looking forward to see the derbies. I think it's going to be very interesting to see Everton against Liverpool this year.
It's going to be something, isn't it, Stevie?
Oof. It's going to be something if it's at Goodison and they're getting beat.
Yes.
You'll have one side singing Rafa Benitez's name, and it won't be the blue side. And the blue side will be singing his name, but it'll be in a very derogatory way. So it will be interesting, right enough.
Will he last the season, Steve?
I'm not going to say he will.
Okay. So
I'm not going to say he won't.
Well, if you're not going to say he will, then he won't.
I'm not sure he will.
Right.
That doesn't mean he won't.
That makes sense.
So if
sense.
I said he yeah, would, and he could, but he
a lot more discussion about Liverpool and who they should bring in to replace Ronaldo on Extra Time. Be sure to check that out over on our YouTube page.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for joining us. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Extra Time is next. Frank and Luis will be back to answer your tweets. Be sure to stay with us. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Stevie Nicol with me here in the studio. And look at this. From Ibiza, Luis Garcia is with us. And from Paris, Frank LaBeouf. Frank, you're going on holiday soon. You excited?
I am, very much, very much. You know, I've had 3 weeks of big job and tiniest being alongside you, so I need some holidays.
I tell you what, you go a long way to look as good as Luis is today, man. Blimmin' heck, Ibiza treating you well, mate.
I can't complain. I'm not going to say I can't complain.
Oh, man, imagine how red Stevie would look in Ibiza.
What? Need a factor 120.
Okay. Stevie, does losing pre-season matches to lower division teams affect a Premier League team's morale that much, or can they easily brush it off knowing that they played B or C's teams?
The answer is yes, you can brush it off.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
No, it's great for giving you a kick up the backside, basically. You know, as many times as you've been through it, every time you go to pre-season, you still think you're in good nick.
Right.
And of course, when the first game comes along, you still think you're going to do what you did after 6 months of training and playing, and you can't do it. And regardless of the actual scoreline, usually you come back in and you sit down and you go, wow, am I ever going to get back to to where I was?
How long does it take?
It probably takes... They always say that it takes the first couple of games of the season to get you to actually where you should be.
Right.
But the truth is, you're not kicking the backside off it, or you shouldn't be when the first game of the season comes around. So I'm going to say 5 weeks. You should be ready to be almost close to your best.
Luis, is there much difference between pre-season in, say, Spain and England?
No, it's actually quite similar. The difference is where the English teams go to do pre-season and where the Spanish team go pre-season. So they try to go to the sunny of the coast in Valencia or Malaga. And the Spanish team, they are trying to go north to try to get cold and get a good pre-season. But it's exactly the same. And I agree with Steve. I think it's not easy to start the pre-season playing against top teams. I think it's better to start with lower teams. And also, get a little bit of rhythm during the first few weeks, because it's true that it takes like six, even seven weeks to get 100%. The first few games, you are not 100% at all. It doesn't matter if you start 5 weeks before the season training or 6 weeks. It doesn't matter about that. It's about the rhythm of the game. And you get that when you start the season.
For the two Liverpool legends, sit back, Frank. Who should Liverpool bring in as a replacement for Ronaldo, Luis?
Oof.
Wow. Who do you reckon, Luis?
To be honest, I'm happy the way the team looks like at the moment. It's true that Ronaldo was a big player for the team. But even though that during the season we've been seeing changes with the play, with the likes of Curtis Jones, play a fantastic role. Minamino, that has been joining the club recently, once after the loan, and the likes of Henderson, Fabinho, that last year we couldn't manage or play with them a lot because they have to change the role to play center backs. I'm happy the way it looks at the moment. If someone comes, of course, it's going to be a help. But it's very difficult with the economic situation that all the teams are having at the moment to find a right player to the right spot. And I think Liverpool has done a great job in the past few years, not trying to buy for buying. We need to buy a player here, so let's try to get whatever. No, I think they've been very focused on, we need this one here, so let's find the right player for this. And Jürgen Klopp has done a great job on that because he's got a very special way of playing with that rhythm, that aggressiveness up front. So not easy to find a player to stick in that position.
Yeah, I agree that it's difficult to go right now and find a player. But I still think they need to go and get somebody who can be and play the way that Klopp did before Alcantara came.
Right.
You know, we all thought Alcantara was coming to give that little edge with the pass forward, try and be a little bit more cute.
Yeah.
And as much as he can bring that, I think that affects the middle three defensively. Teams were getting at Liverpool's back line far too easily, the last 6 months of last season in particular, with the injuries, with Fabinho going out there. So I'm not so sure that what they have right now is going to be enough to challenge City. I don't have a player in my mind right now where I would say, go and sign this guy. I just have a question whether Alcantara is the man between Fabinho and Henderson. I think Jones can get better and do it eventually.
Right.
So I'm just not quite 100% right now that with what they have, they're able to get after City.
Frank, what do you think?
Stevie, do you think that Diogo Jota can do, if you arrange a little bit to play in that position, midfield to link with the strikers? He's done it a few times.
I think he could, Louis, but I think the problem is defensively. You know, I think he yeah. could play in there. But if we look at what made Liverpool so good under Klopp, it was the fact that it was three forwards and it was three midfielders who, yes, are good. Well, they're better than good football players, but they walked their tails off to get the ball back and just get it to that middle three. So the likes of Jota or Alcantara there, I think it just weakens them a little bit defensively. And listen, I'm picking it here, because with what they've got right now, they're a great side. At the best, they're still a great side. But there's a difference between being great and being incredible the way they were for, 18 months, where they were unbeatable pretty much.
Frank, what do you think Mbappe will do? Sign an extension or leave PSG on a free next summer? And if he does decide not to renew, will it be wise of PSG to sell him this summer rather than losing him for free?
If I was Kylian Mbappe, I won't move. The only risk that I'm going to face during the season is to get injured and to be without a contract at the end of the season if I get injured. Otherwise, just wait and see. I think he wants to go to Real Madrid. Financially, Real Madrid cannot afford to have Kylian Mbappe, I think, on a transfer this season. It's going to cost too much money. They can't afford it again. Paris Saint-Germain, on their side, they have to do everything to make sure they're going to keep him and they're going to extend his contract for maybe within two seasons, having the chance to sell him like crazy money, because football will come back to a better financial balance. But again, there is nothing much to do right now. There is no club who can really afford, except maybe Manchester City or Chelsea, Kylian Mbappe. And there is not many places to go for Kylian Mbappe, especially Real Madrid. They don't have the money for him.
Hey, here's a question, right?
Okay, here we go.
Here's a question. If you're the PSG hierarchy, or the owner, whoever it is, that has the final say, how much is the Champions League worth to you?
A lot.
Right. So is it worth them saying, you know what, I don't care. We're keeping him for the next year because I think we can win the Champions League and we won't take 100 million for him. That's got to be worth 100 million to the owner, isn't it?
Sure.
So that has to be your answer, right?
There you go.
He's going nowhere. I don't care who wants him. He's going nowhere.
And again, Dan, I really think that it would be a wrong idea for Kylian Mbappé to leave Paris Saint-Germain right now. If there is one club out of all the big clubs that we see in Europe being able to win the Champions League next season, it's Paris Saint-Germain. I don't think that Real Madrid has more chances to win than Paris Saint-Germain. Mm. Again, you have Manchester City, maybe Liverpool, maybe Chelsea, maybe, and Paris Saint-Germain, maybe Bayern Munich. The others, they're going to struggle. They have so much finances problems, lineup problems, players don't want to play anymore, want to go. It's a big mess elsewhere.
Luis, do you think that it's fair that Spain have put out a squad for the Olympics that had players from the Euros? Does it give them an advantage? And also, do you think football should be in the Olympics?
It's a big discussion, that one, to have the chance of having people over there with the situation that they're having. In the other side, having players who come from the Euro is an advantage. I think the quality of the players that are coming from the Euros, the rhythm that they had, that they showed, I think, yes, it's an advantage. That experience brought to young players is massive, because they come with a lot of confidence. They're going to bring the experience from that competition. And when you play a tournament like this one, of course, having 2-3 players involved in the 11 started, yeah, it's a big difference. But once again, we've seen top teams, quality players not performing, and we've seen in the Euros. So imagine with young players. So yeah, it's advantage in the beginning or looks on paper, but at the end you have to perform, you have to give to that experience and show it on the game. So not a big difference once you are on the field.
Luis, with the possible return of a natural goal scorer in Ansu Fati this season, do you consider Spain as genuine contenders for the World Cup next year, given the fact that it was only the lack of cutting edge in the final third that prevented Spain reaching the final?
Wow, can you repeat it again? I couldn't hear it properly. With the positive return of... Okay, let me read it. Yeah, given the fact that it was cutting edge in the last third, that prevented reach the final. It could be. I think there was more things on the field that they were needed. But I think it's not only about that. I think they play against a top team. And when you play in this kind of games, anything can happen. It's not that in Spain didn't show a good performance or it was not good enough. They arrive until the point that you go arrive on penalties, and that's a little bit of lottery, not because they didn't have what was needed. It was, I think, the top scorer of the competition. So that means though, having more players that could score goals could help, but it wasn't only that matter who didn't help Spain to arrive to the final.
Luis, who is going to win the Ballon d'Or?
Wow.
Oh, cheers.
That's a different question. I will go to Kylian Mbappé. I think he's done a fantastic year. So
what did he do, Luis? He got knocked out against Switzerland, who didn't win the Champions League. Why do you hate Lionel Messi?
If it's me, I will give it every single year. I mean, in the last
Too late, you just came to Mbappe 10 seconds ago.
Yeah, but that's the way it is. I think he's going to be the player to watch out for the next coming years.
Luis, who is the best player that you ever played with or against? Let's do both. Played with and against.
Best player that I played with, Ronaldinho. It was different world. I mean, something very, very special that we don't see many often now on these years. And the toughest, I mean, yeah, Lionel Messi, you play against him, of course. But moving from Lionel Messi, Zinedine Zidane was the best player I played against.
Wow. Did you play against Frank at all? Did your careers coincide at all? I'm just trying to think. No, he's a bit too young.
I was lucky enough to don't play against him.
So nice, so diplomatic.
Another question, not for Frank. Luis, given that you played in many countries across the world, what was your favourite location? Shut up.
Yeah, no. Now, to be honest, I've been very lucky. I played in many places, but something that it was something different. It was Australia. I enjoy very much playing in Australia, different lifestyle, and I enjoy playing over there. I have the chance of playing 3 months and a half only, but I enjoy the time over there and enjoy football at the same time.
I thought he was ready to sell Liverpool.
Yeah, but it's not in the comments. That's the easier answer. I tried to find a different one. Yeah.
He's trying to get you into trouble, Luis. Don't listen to him.
Right, it's fine.
Final question for Frank. Did you see Ronaldo's picture wearing a blue jacket and matching shorts? Also, your thoughts on formal clothes with sneakers and not dress shoes? This going back to Frank getting very angry because I'd go out for dinner in shorts when we were together.
Yeah, but that's a style, Dan. The guy has everything matches. You know, it's classy.
Yeah.
It's not a short coming from the beach with a flip flops going to a famous restaurant. He can go anywhere. I don't think Ronaldo will go to a fancy restaurant with shorts. He's outside, I don't care. He's classy, no problem, he has the style. But I'm pretty sure, and I can bet on it, that the guy will never go to a restaurant dressed like that.
Okay. Luis?
He must have borrowed that car for the picture, eh?
I think so. Definitely can afford that. Luis, where do you stand on shorts when you go out for a restaurant meal in Ibiza? Are you wearing shorts or are you wearing trousers?
No. If it's at night, I will wear long pants. If it's in at midday for lunch, maybe.
It's hot.
It is hot.
You know, Dan Thomas, you have to learn, you have to stop believing you're doing great going to a restaurant with flip-flops and shorts. That's abnormal.
Too late. It's too late.
It's hot.
Yeah, it's hot.
It's hot. Wear shorts. It's fine. I'm not trying to impress anyone, are we? Frank, whose car is nicer? Your Bentley or Ronaldo's, what's that, Rolls Royce?
That's a Rolls Royce. That's a Phantom, yes. Mine is classier because it's...
no, it's not. I can see it clearly. I can see it clearly.
Send a picture to people. I think it's less flashy. Mine is less flashy. This is why I think it's classier. It's a dark sapphire color.
Right.
You don't have that... but it's... Yeah, I think it's classier. It's a nice car. The Phantom is a nice car. But... I won't call that color classy.
Is your number plate, is your registration Leboeuf, Frank?
No, it's forbidden in France. Oh. You know, because we're humble people, we don't have to, it's forbidden to put your name on the plate.
You what?
That's it. Thank you very much, guys. Thanks as always for your tweets. We will be back tomorrow for more.